I'm not going to have my mic today, guys. I screwed up.
Great.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to Jeremy's last episode.
I'll just go turn my everything off and sit in the corner.
Just to get yelled at, like, oh, great, we're doing an important commentary. They finally gave us some material.
Oh, I don't have my microphone.
Great, great.
No one listens to me anyway.
That's not true. I listen to you and I get angry every day at the podcast. God damn it, Jeremy! How's everybody doing, Des? COVID done?
Yeah, he tested negative the day before he left, and he tested negative the day he got back, and he tested positive every day he was in Seattle.
That sucks. So did he just have to stay in the hotel room the whole time?
We were at Lola's house, thankfully, so at least we were a little bit more comfortable. But that also meant that we were all technically exposed, so we had to fucking wear masks.
Did anybody else get it?
Nope.
Oh, that's good. And you still got to see family and stuff, so that's
yeah,
cool.
Yeah, like, you know, first 2 days were just like, we're probably going to test positive, so everyone just sit still until, like...
Yeah, that's when you're like, hey, everybody, we got COVID, so we're probably going to be here a couple weeks. I don't know what's going on.
Lola went to Costco and just got a bunch of food. And then, so Thursday, we kind of did something low-key. Friday, we went on a ferry and stayed away from everybody. And then Saturday, we were just like, all right. You know, we had some friends call us. They're just like, you're fucking coming over. They're like, we don't care.
Yeah, I wasn't doing that because I was like, we were going to get into town so late. Lisa's kind of, she's like, I don't want that shit ever again. So I was like, well, it's like, you guys are going to be pressed for fucking time anyway. So do your thing.
What's going on, Jeremy?
I'm having trouble for you guys. So I'm about to just be like, you guys do this without me.
No, we'll figure it out, dude.
Because we can just use your Zoom audio if we have to.
Okay.
Now, do you want to?
All right. Can you guys hear me?
Yeah, we can hear you. You just sound like you're in like a well or something.
I changed the wrong thing.
What about now? Does that sound better?
You sound great now. Yeah, you sound perfect.
Okay, that's I got it going.
Okay, cool. You're good.
As long as I sound fine, you can get me off of this. I will talk a lot less. So.
No, you sound almost as good as your mic right now. Like, it's not quite as crisp. Yeah, yeah. So now you sound fine. Like, you sound, I mean, not as good as your mic, but like, it's totally fine.
What are you going to do, right?
Yeah, it happens. First of all, I'm proud of us. I'm proud of me, goddammit. We've been doing this for 8 months, Des, and we've been doing this since, like, what was it, like, December, like, 3rd or 4th?
December 1st. I think it was 1st. I want to say it was December 1st.
So we're doing it, like, 8 months now, man, and yeah. We've knocked out almost 40 episodes, and I think Jeremy's been a part of probably, what, 10 or so now?
At least.
Almost. If you count the commentaries that he did, and then maybe just under 10, but, you know.
Oh, I think it's been more than 10.
Yeah, probably more than 10, actually, I guess, now that, yeah.
You think about it, because we do two at a time almost every time.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
Yeah.
Yeah, I guess they just all haven't maybe been released yet. Got a couple more that you haven't been released on, so that makes sense.
Yeah.
But, yeah, man, we're doing a thing, and I think it's, I was thinking about that today, and it's pretty fucking cool. Desmond, you do the hard work and make us look good, but it's been fun, man. It's awesome, so doctors and good stuff, and... She made me go to the doctor today. So she's like, I'm good. Now you go to the doctor, fucko. I'm like, oh, no, I don't like that. I got in there. They're like, your blood pressure is like 156 over 120. I was like, because I haven't been to the doctor in 10 years and I'm fucking terrified. What are you going to do to me? It's like, we're going to take some blood. I'm like, duh, blood pressure's going up more. No. So like a few minutes later, it was down. And then by the end of like my talk with her before they drew blood, it was like, you know, 146 over 100, which still isn't like super great, but it's like, she's like, take your blood pressure for the next month with a thing at home. But she's like, I'm guessing you have doctor-induced hypertension. Like, yeah, I've been to the dentist before. And they're like, are you going to pass out? I'm like, why? They're like, because your blood pressure is like screaming. I'm like, I feel fine. Other than the fact that you're about to stick me with needles and I'm a little clammy.
I hate going to the dentist too.
Oh, the dentist needles.
Bleh.
That's why I brush every day. I just think about that needle every day. Just, oh yeah, brush them good. Brush them good.
Brush them till they bleed.
Tell her to get used to Vicodin.
No, the Vicodin's mine. She can take Tylenol.
Yeah, send me some, dude.
No.
Actually, that's the main reason why I went to the doctor today is my knee's fucked up. I fucked it up, you know, when I was like 29. Me and Osiris were snowboarding and I fucked it up that day. And, you know, it's been jacked ever since, but like not super painful. But over the last like 4 years, like I started waking up. I'm like, and then all of a sudden, like 2 weeks ago, it started doing this cracking, grinding thing when I bend down all the way. I'm like, no, that's probably not great. But I've also been like working out on a recumbent bike. So that she said it could be a good thing. It could be like kind of, but, you know, putting itself back together, which is, you know, a good thing. So I'm like, well, okay. Overall, for not going to the doctor since I broke my back in 2017 when I got 18 pills for a broken back.
Oh,
it's like, thanks, guys.
God,
it hurts a lot.
How'd you break your back?
Our front door is in the shade and it was really icy one day. And I'm never fucking careful and I never fall, but I happen to have a backpack on that day and I'm like, I better be careful. I have a heavy backpack and I hit the second to last step and like home alone it, dude.
Oh,
and like fell right on the corner on my lower like hips and back. And I had like a hairline fracture on like my hip area back.
Yeah. Oh, brutal.
It wasn't like crazy. It was just like getting fucking kicked by a horse or something. But you know, it's like, you're not going to die or be paralyzed, but it hurts like a fucking bitch.
Gets kicked by a horse. Eyes go cross, slips on the stairs. They go back.
Falls
again.
Down a well. Eyes go back normal. I don't know.
How's your health, Jeremy? Are you strong as an ox?
I am broken down. I started working out again too, and it is like killing me. I feel better. I feel good, but the man, everywhere hurts.
Protein, everywhere. Protein.
I think I need to stop drinking soda. I stopped that for a long time, and I still have like a Diet Coke every once in a while, you know, just to feel like a human being.
Diet Coke's fucking poison, dude. That's fucking fake sugar.
Oh yeah, it's the worst. It, you know, I'm not gonna drink something healthy. Come on, but yeah, no, I protein. You're right. I'm gonna get that protein.
Yeah, I wasn't a believer until I started working out, and then I started not overdosing, but like, you know, focusing on protein and making sure I get probably a little more than I need. And my recovery time has just been cut in half.
No kidding. Like, okay.
It's no joke.
CBD, bro. CBD.
Vicodin.
Vicodin helps with my recovery. It's great.
Vicodin when you work out so you don't feel it. And Vicodin
you don't
after.
Feel it.
So you still
I tried taking a Vicodin once when I got tattooed. That does not work.
That seems like a bad idea.
It works real good for about an hour and a half. And then you're like, get me the fuck out of this chair.
I finally have a dentist I've been with long enough that she knows that the Novocaine wears off on me.
Dude, I have that shit too.
She'll give me a little extra and then like, because so many dentists I've been to, I'm like, ow. They're like, it's just the pressure. I'm like, no.
Yeah, I'm like, no. He's like, dude, he's like, I gave you fucking enough to numb a horse's face. How are you fucking wearing off already? I'm like, it's not painful. It's going to be. And then we're going to have a problem. He's like, dude, what's the problem? I'm like, he's like, do you drink a lot? I'm like, nope. Oh, dude, I'm just a fucking horse, man. It's like, even when I wasn't like drinking on a regular basis, I could still fucking put down a ton of booze. And it's like, it doesn't make sense. So anything that you try to give me, it's just like, here, take this. I'm like, all right, you can't knock me out. I've never been a blackout drunk once in my life. It was your birthday.
Yeah. I remember that was the surprise party. Yes. You know how I found out I was officially not immune, but had a super high tolerance to topical
alcohol drugs?
Topical like Novocaine?
Did you say mind altering drugs?
No, I said alcohol and drugs.
Vasectomy.
Oh yeah.
Oh.
I woke up in the middle of mine.
Oh, you got to get knocked out?
I did.
Fuck you. I was wide awake. So I heard the doctor say, bring me some more. No, a full syringe.
Oh God. Bro, I'm not gonna poop for a week.
Yeah, doc started cutting on me, and then I started like trying to wake up, and then I saw him reach over and push the plunger. And then I went murk right back out. Yeah. Yeah, I was all, oh.
I would fucking die, dude. I'd rather wake up with something up my ass.
Oh,
yeah, it was not good.
Couldn't do the down the throat. Lisa said she woke up a little bit one time when they were doing a thing down her throat.
You don't shove anything down your throat for a vasectomy. How do you think you get? No,
I went to the wrong doctor.
It was just some guy on the corner in a van. Is it not? Is that not good?
Ah,
I said he was totally licensed.
Thank the light, everyone. I am your COVID-free Sadai, and these are my wolf brothers.
What up? You're well-rested and grinning, gleaming, I guess, because I'm just filled with glee to be here. I missed you guys.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm excited, dude. They finally got some content to talk about.
I will be your Ashamina foretelling.
Yeah, you're going to be wrong because you said it's going to suck. It's going to be Are you at least excited about the trailer?
I am. I actually am. Yeah.
I'm pretty fucking stoked on what I've seen. I'm excited.
I'm ready to be let down.
I kind of gotten over the fact that it's... oh, I hate you. Say that again for the cameras.
I'm ready to be let down.
Oh, you're the worst.
I had a chat with a friend in Seattle. I found out she's a Wheel of Time fan. It's so funny.
You didn't talk to me while you were here. You're your only friend here.
Everybody I've... I know. So there's another one, Justin, believe it or not.
No, no.
And like, I haven't met anyone who's just like, yeah, it's fine. Like, the books are fine. The show is fine.
It's okay. They're like, it's amazing.
Yeah. Like, everyone's either like, I read the first book and it's stupid, or I hate the show, or it's my religion.
Yeah. That's kind of like no middle ground.
Well, she tore through them. I think she got to them kind of later. So she was just like, and she's like, I don't remember book 4 or 5. She's like,
oh, wow.
Yeah, I could see that.
Just because those are the, like, you know, the just kind of getting through stuff. Like 1 through 3, from what I can tell, there's a lot going on. And then 4 and 5 is when he kind of realized, like, okay, I'm going to do.
I got to flesh some more stuff out. You know, I got to get a little bit more in the lore and a little bit more, you know, backstory on stuff.
So, yeah. So Justin kind of mentioned it. We're just here to hype up season 2. We got some real news. Well, I don't know. Yeah, we got a little bit of news. I mean, the AMA.
Quite a bit.
Did you guys check out the Rafe AMA?
Yeah, I did.
No, I haven't actually. I was gone and then I got back and I spent the last 4 days catching up at work. So,
yeah.
And I was pretty, I kind of tried to unplug as much as I could while I was gone.
So where do we want to start? Should we watch it?
Yeah. Should we watch the whole thing, then talk about it, or pause as we go?
I think we should. It's only a minute. So I say we even just like watch it on our own time. I think we should just go silent and all stare at our phones for a minute.
Okay.
You know, I mean, I can, just because I'm not sure if my volume will work on my screen right now. So.
Okay.
I think we've all watched it at least once, right?
I've watched it like a bunch of times.
I did not watch this one. I watched one like breakdown. So I haven't watched it just straight through. No.
Okay, cool.
I watched it on 0.25 speed, so I have lots of notes. Everybody's voices are really low this season. It's weird.
Here we go. Let's fucking do this. Ooh, I'm so excited for this.
Jeremy, what are you watching on 0.5 speed this time?
Yeah. How'd you know?
I watched it twice.
I'm trying to see all. I mean, I took notes and everything, but I'm trying to figure out like all the stuff I really want to talk about.
Everybody out there, we just watched the season 2 teaser trailer. We will put the link in the notes. There's a lot of commentary versions out there, but Jeremy dug up just a pure trailer. I don't know what 4chan site he got that off of, but I searched for it forever. I was just like, just trailer
it's the
only.
The dark web. You can only find it on the dark web.
That deep shit. All right, I'm the idiot, so I'm gonna start first. That's not land and moraine. It's land, but it's not land and moraine on the beach, right?
Yes, oh, it is land and moraine on the beach. It is land and moraine on the beach.
Okay, I don't know why it didn't look like her.
Oh, I'm gonna explain all of it if Jeremy doesn't. I'm so fucking ready.
Who's the dude with the white hair and the COVID mask?
Jeremy, you want to go first?
So I think it's Jared Byer, because he's a white cloak.
Yeah, that's true. I thought it might be Boris, Jason Carradine.
Well, but Boris, okay, Jason Carradine. It could be that too. It's weird that
isn't he Boris the dude who's in the Great Hunt in the like the Dark Friend Social or whatever?
I believe you're right. I believe you're right because there is a Dark Friend that is a child of the light, and I have not got caught up in my book reading again. And that's kind of an obscure, not an obscure character, but in the tier list of characters, he's down farther. He's not the Rand and Nynaeve and Perrin and all those guys. He's way, way down.
I'm not sure why they decided to make him so important, but.
You know, sometimes they'll just do like that red herring type of thing. Like, oh, we're going to kill this guy off in like 10 seconds, but look how cool he looks.
he lasted a while. They just fucking like, you know.
Well, it might not be him too.
That's true. I'm talking book wise. Yeah, bookwise.
They probably could. They be mixing him. There's probably. I mean,
they could be.
Absolutely.
The only reason why Jeremy, I think, could be right is because if I remember correctly, Jarrett Beyer is. Did Perrin get one of? He. I know he got his main axe from Master Luhan, but didn't he have to take it back from Jarrett Beyer?
Beyer is the guy who hates Perrin too.
But he also ends up being like his clerk at the end, doesn't he?
I think you're absolutely right, and I've seen some. I've watched some other people talk about it, and I read some stuff online. And most people think the same thing. Plus, it's that double-bladed axe.
Yeah, the big half moon blades, you know.
But he doesn't have a double-bladed axe, right? He's got the spike on one side and the blade on the other side.
That's right.
But I mean, they could change everything. Who knows?
When you guys say Jarrett Beyer, I think you're talking about some dude you went to high school with that drives a Trans Am.
Jarrett, you know Jarrett.
You know Jarrett. Jarrett, he married Brandy Lynn.
Exactly. I saw him at the 20-year anniversary. He's still a douche.
Still drives that same car, too.
Exactly. Remember Jarrett Beyer? Still driving that fucking Trans Am. Dirty bastard.
Son of a bitch.
Is Rand the hairdo, the like almost shaved hairdo, is that out of the book? Like, does he do that as some kind of a leveling up?
No,
I think he tries to kind of like disguise himself, even though he ends up getting like dressed with dragons all over the place. I think it's to hide his Aiel heritage because nobody has red hair. So I think if he shaves his head, can't tell he's red haired.
Right.
So, you know, or maybe that's just him trying to run away from people saying, oh, you look like an Aielman, and he doesn't, you know, or maybe it's just to kind of like disguise himself a little bit, you know?
Yeah, that was weird seeing that. I was kind of shocked. I didn't expect that because there's no people in the books that have shaved heads that I could tell. Well, or like
the Shannarians have top knots still.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So they'll shave most of their head. Or the Kyrians, like they would shave the front of their heads, but not the back.
Yeah, which seems like a super weird look. And they powder the top of their heads and stuff. That seems just really weird.
There was a time in like feudal Japan where they did that, I think.
Yeah, I was going to say it's totally Japanese style.
Yeah.
Can you give me the Costanza?
Basically, please. Dude, with some powder on it.
Yeah, totally. So, I have just one more note. Who's the girl in the White Tower?
That's Egwene.
That's Egwene, isn't it?
That was Egwene?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Jesus. I got to watch season one again.
Did you even watch the show?
No.
No, not really.
Hey, Jeremy, where are you in the books?
Still in the first book.
Yes.
I am so far behind.
Yes.
So far behind.
I, of course, did no reading while I was gone. I brought the book. I brought the audio book. I was like, somehow, some way, I'm going to push this forward. Nope.
Not happening.
Well, you know what? I'm going to just come with it. And I listened to 7 books while I was on vacation. But they were not Wheel of Time. It was those Jedi books, and they're pretty short.
I was going to say, it sounds more like you listen to pamphlets. Instead of books.
No, I think they're only like the books themselves are only like 7-8 hours max, I think.
Oh.
And they're good. I'm on the last one right now and just they would have made movies out of these. They would have been everything you ever wanted or more, and they could have put it down forever after that.
Never gonna happen.
I hate you.
What are they doing next with Star Wars, Justin? What's Disney?
Oh, I don't know. They're all kinds of shit. They're good. They're doing I haven't even been keeping up with it.
I guess movie wise, do you have any idea what they're?
I don't know. I have no idea. I think they might be doing some Boba Fett, the Boba Fett one, but that could be a show too. Oh yeah, there is a book of Boba Fett show.
Yeah, they're not making a Boba Fett movie.
I don't think they're making any movies right now. I think they're concentrated more on like the show aspects of things, like series.
That'd be cool if they're kind of like introducing a bunch of people through the shows and then just having a big, huge fucking trilogy at some point after they get their universe built.
You're giving them way too much credit.
I wish they could have done these 9 books, but they've already ruined it with their new movies with the canonically they've ruined it because, you know, the Solos don't have twin kids and, you know, there's not this 30-year war. Man, it's fucking, dude, it's good. It's like, I mean, it's not your typical Star Wars. There is like, dude, it's, you know, there's lots of dismemberments and there is blood and like, I'm going to, you know, reignite the lightsaber right underneath their chin so their fucking head pops up. It's crazy, dude. Not super graphic, just definitely not Disney.
Speaking of canon, I assumed it was, but since someone asked the question on the AMA, all the origin stuff is total canon. Because someone asked, is that just kind of information for...
No, yeah. For anyone who's read the books, they would probably be like, yeah, that's canon. It's pretty, they're pretty much dead onto the books. I haven't seen any, I don't know about you, Jeremy, but I haven't seen any like divergence on that aspect.
No, I don't think so. There's nothing that I saw and I was like, that immediately was saying that, you know, that contradicts something in the books.
Yeah.
And
even the origins, I feel like it was like, I wasn't really surprised, I don't think, by anything.
Yeah. And then we haven't talked about this yet, but they are going to be releasing new origins for this season before the season comes out.
Yeah, that's cool. They should have done that last time, but that's cool.
It's a great idea. It's a really good idea. So, and they're like, what, 5 minutes long? Maybe not even that. So if you haven't watched the original ones, go back and watch them. They are on the X-ray part of Amazon Prime.
And they give a lot of good background.
Yeah, they do. And it might be a little bit more obvious when you're watching the show, like, oh, I didn't understand this.
Yeah, it could clear some shit up, like, you know, like, oh, I didn't understand that. And like, oh, okay, that makes that way more sense now. So.
Yeah, that's what it was like for me. Like, yeah, it was nothing mind blowing, but it just kind of connected a few dots, like things you suspect, but then they just come out and say it. And you're like, oh, okay, that is how that works. Cool.
Yeah.
And they also talked about how season 3 has already been greenlit. So that's already going to happen.
Yeah.
So we don't have to worry about that. And then also they were saying that these episodes are going to be longer.
Yes. That was the one thing I was going to say. They are supposed to have longer runtimes. They didn't say how much, but I mean, even if they're...
If they're an hour and 5 minutes, yeah.
If they're an hour and 10 minutes, that's basically 2 full extra episodes almost.
Exactly.
So, and then you're getting more like 10, and then I'm like, that's okay.
Well, and even if they're mostly like, yeah, 55 to an hour 5, like then maybe like the last 2 episodes or something, they can do, you know, 2 90-minute ones or something.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And...
Oh, you're talking about Moraine and Lan on the beach. I think that's definitely Moraine with Lan on the beach. One of the theories I kind of saw, there's a certain farmhouse that Moraine goes to with Lan for a while. And it's like she's kind of studying about the Dragon Reborn. And she's with these two older Aes Sedais, like lots older Aes Sedais. And
retired.
Yeah, retired, basically. They're just kind of like living in the farmhouse out in the middle of nowhere, just kind of like still gathering knowledge and, you know, writing histories. And their warders are basically like just like farm helpers, you know, nowadays. And then Lan and Moraine show up and Lan starts kind of training with them again. And then, so I hope that that's kind of, I don't think they'll be able to work those two Aes Sedai in because they're not, maybe they'll, I saw a theory and I think this would be good as if Varen is at that farmhouse, maybe.
That's good.
Or maybe Varen and Cad Suan, introduce her a little
about her
a bit earlier, but I hope not. I hope not. I want to be, and also I don't think they should be in such close proximity, like they're working together because of the thing that happens at the end that I'm not going to say.
Yeah.
The other cool thing, it may end up in season 3. Rafe was a little but probably towards the end of season 2, the Matt Gawain and Galad battle will be in the show.
Oh, really?
I heard that too. He did say they're going to try to make it as believable as possible, but if they better fucking keep it money, dude, because it's one of the best scenes.
Believable as possible. It's a fantasy show. You can do whatever you want.
Wow. Whoa.
This is what Rafe said. This is an iconic scene from the book, and we are building to a believable version of it in the show. Hopefully. Ha!
I think that means that Matt's not going to be super sick, stumbling out of a sick bed, barely able to walk, and kick two of the greatest swordmen in the world's ass. That's what I think it is. I think more it's going to be like, oh, I'm here, I'm getting better, we're training together. Oh, you want to fucking talk some shit? Boom. And like Matt's not going to be like weak and stumbling, I think, is all.
I don't know, but that kind of works with his luck too, right? Like, oh, I can barely move.
Exactly. That's the thing. They need to start building the luck.
It'll happen. It has to happen second season.
Yeah, it has to happen. You have to start building his luck. Maybe that's where it starts, because that's kind of where it starts in the book. So I hope that they really get down on that.
And Rafe said that since Matt was the character that probably went the most off the books, or, you know, non-book canonical, they're going to, like, for obvious reasons, for COVID and whatever the actor's problem was, he's like, so we're going to have to kind of weave him back in a not necessarily book way, but we'll get him back to where it makes sense as soon as, you know, we can without rushing it.
That makes sense.
Right. Yeah. Cause they had to deal with him leaving the show. So they're trying to make it. Maybe that's what he means by believable as far as like reintroducing him.
Oh yeah. Well, I think you made a good point. Like maybe like the next time we see him, he might be super sick. Cause if he's just been hanging out in the tower, he could just be on his deathbed and they could just, the first time we see him, he could just be all in all kinds of makeup looking like shit. And then when he heals up, he'll be the new Matt.
They're like, Matt, you look so different.
Yeah, exactly.
Almost like a new person.
I hope they don't do that. Like, it's part of the healing process. Like, no, it's fucking not. Like, no, it's they say it's the dagger, you know, it made him so sick that now he's just this or whatever. But
why did you guys decide not to make the dagger instant death like the books? How did Loial survive being stabbed by the dagger? Rafe, that's a story best told in the Steading.
Oh, fuck you, Rafe. Really?
That's the stupidest. That's a terrible answer.
No, that's not, because that means we might get to go to the Steading and Loial, we might go there.
Oh,
and
okay. I think he's being cryptic. Gotcha.
Some secret Steading magic, which...
Oh, dude. Okay. All right. I can dig that. Like, they got to, like, sing, maybe have some Aes Sedai healing, too. But yeah, no, the thing about the dagger is that shit is instant death. But at least if they explain why it's not, then fine. It just has to be cohesive. Because I'm over the no-scope things, you know?
I am so confused what's going on in The Great Hunt. Like, for the last couple chapters, I've had to listen to it in like 5 or 8 minute chunks. Like, I listen to it while I take Cormac to school and I listen to it on the way back. And like, it's at that point now where they're like, where Rand is with the I forget her name.
Celine.
And she's like trying to get him to the portal stones and he's fighting the Grogs. And like, they're talking about kind of like time jumps and him and Loial are kind of going in and out of reality. Or I'm probably not even saying it right because I have no fucking idea what's going on.
Jeremy, you want to take this one?
Yeah.
You guys don't even have to tell me if you don't want to.
It's important. I think you should tell you, because I think it helps with the overall, like, you know, you got to understand the book.
Yeah.
Yeah. He basically, what happens is, you know, he falls asleep. And this is, if you think about it, Justin, we just assume that he, you know, channeled in his sleep and they went to the parallel universe. But it might have been Celine that took him there.
That's what I was thinking.
Yeah.
But she also refuses to take him. Like, she's like, I don't know how to use this shit. You got to get it. I mean, that could just be a ploy to make him channel, but
obviously.
Yeah, clearly.
What were you going to say, Des? Sorry.
No, that's fine. Yeah, I assumed he was kind of going in and out of the dream world.
No.
And it was.
No, he's kind of channeling. And I think it kind of gives you visions. Like, it's almost like flipping through a Rolodex. Like, where's the timeline that I need? And he's kind of like flashing, I think. That's the way I took it anyway.
Oh,
he's flashing,
yeah, flash,
kind
flash,
of
flash,
looking
flash,
for the
flicker.
Yeah.
Oh.
I mean, I don't know. What do you think, Jeremy? That's the way I took it anyway.
Yeah, I don't think it's timeline. I think it's like parallel universe.
Like, he's just like kind of like said, flipping through which world that he needs to get back to his own or whatever.
Sure. That I totally agree with.
Because weren't you saying, Jeremy, like even the old Aes Sedai is like really didn't know how these worked.
No, I don't think I was. I think you had read that somewhere. I think we had read that somewhere, maybe.
Yeah, like even they weren't 100% sure like where they worked or what and where they came from.
Yeah. Well, and then getting back to this, there's a scene in one of the in the behind the scene season 2 of the Waygate that's kind of like overgrown and in like a tropical setting.
Yeah, where do we think that's at?
I think that's what they're going to use instead of the portal stone. I think if you bring the portal stones in, you've kind of confused the audience, maybe. So maybe they just use.
I could get down on that. Would that make you mad, or would that be?
No, that wouldn't bother me.
But how could we still get those fucking like iconic, like flicker scenes? Even if it's not at the portal stone. Another thing that we're going to lead into is the Fade nailed to the door when they're at that town. That's where the flicker stuff starts. And Rand starts to see, I guess, visions of what happened in the town. Or
so if you go back to the first, second, and not quite the third books, but yeah, maybe even in the third books, there's a lot of stuff that happens that's kind of not explained.
Yeah.
And it doesn't really follow the rules of the book. You know, when anybody's writing a book and they have like the to set up their, what is it, their rules, you know, that the world has to establish and live by.
Yeah, they're like world parameters, basically. They're dungeon master rules.
Exactly, your dungeon master rules. Robert Jordan hasn't solidified his dungeon master rules. That's why in the first part,
great storytelling, shitty dungeon master.
And now all I can think of is Robert Jordan as the little dungeon master from the cartoon Dungeons and Dragons. Remember the little guy, the bald guy? That's all I can think of.
Was it like
now.
The little purple bald dude?
No, he wasn't purple. He had like, he wore like red robes, and he had like he was bald on top, but like long on the sides.
Mini Gargamel.
All I can picture is the creep show guy.
Oh yeah. Same haircut. Yeah, same haircut.
You have stepped on your porthole. Now I will put it in your bunghole.
Not with those dry ass fingers, you're not.
So that's kind of why in the end of the book with Robert Jordan, where it's the fog and the mist, and then Rand just transports from one place to another, and then he's like above the battlefield looking down on it.
Yes.
Yeah, almost like he's a giant.
Almost like he's a giant floating in the air. And you're like, well, he doesn't do anything like that the rest of the book. Yeah. So I think that's what it is. The flicker thing is like, oh, it's I needed this.
I need this moment to be iconic. What can I do?
But then after that, you're like, well, I don't have nothing that can establish that in the future, you know, or nothing I can look back and say, this is what's happening.
Like, it's not something you can build around. It's almost a no scope. You know what? I started thinking about this, like you're Olivia and about.
What is a no scope thing?
Like just like when you have like a golden gun.
Oh, okay.
Does that make sense? Like from GoldenEye, one shot, one kill. It's like out of nowhere. Where the fuck did this? Where did this Olivia chick come from? Who's stronger than anybody but the Forsaken? You know, it's kind of like
Deus Ex Machina.
Deus Ex Machina. Okay. Gotcha.
This might kind of lead. I think you guys might be onto something with the Waygates. Since most of the main characters split up geographically at the beginning of THG, will the next season keep them on parallel timelines for a convergence at Falm, in which case the portal stones left a time gap of 4 months for Rand's group? Easier to do on page or on film? Rafe, time gaps are very difficult moving to the medium of television with the stories intercutting.
They are.
But we try to do as much as we can to avoid 1 hour cross-continent dragon flights.
Good. That's a direct shot at Game of Thrones.
Seriously. That is totally.
That is so good. Okay. He's forgiven for that other fucking setting comment.
Yeah, that's
I mean, although steady. If he's doing like a teaser that we get to go to the setting and see some cool shit, then all right, cool. But if like he's just being like like intentionally obtuse, it's gonna be annoying.
I've been watching that show The Last Kingdom, and they will like be like, oh god, we have to hurry and get to York, and we are in Aylesburg or something like that, and they're like, they take off riding out of the city, and then they're riding into the city at a dead gallop, and I'm like, how far is it from York to Aylesburg? 172 miles. I'd be like, a 5-day ride. There's no way.
And you would have saddle sores and ass pain, but you wouldn't be ready to fight when you got there.
Yeah, your horse would be dead if you tried to even trot him that far.
Exactly. Very true. No, and it's one thing that is, it's the waygates are a nice vessel to be able to move people around quickly, which is good.
Yeah, and then when traveling comes in.
The 4 month time gap thing comes from the portal stones, mm-hmm. because it basically takes Rand 4 months in the other place to figure out how to get back.
Oh,
like by the time they're following they're like in the parallel universe, and Hearn's like, I can kind of smell violence, but it's like it's hasn't been done yet or something like that. It's because they're ahead of them, and they're basically falling further and further behind them because the time there just moves differently. So one more thing with Moraine. Tied off or stilled, guys? What do we think?
Tied off. She's not stilled.
She can't be stilled. She's got to be. And you know what? I actually did watch a few kind of breakdowns about what Ishmael's doing with his hands. And they almost look, they say, let's like, it looks like he's tying shoes or tying a knot.
Mm.
So it's probably one of our first look at a really powerful shield being tied off on somebody. Because that's something that becomes, is a very important plot point with Rand at a certain point And it's actually one of my favorite, not to go on too much of a tangent, one of my favorite descriptions of channeling. Rand has a major shield tried off on him, and there are several people holding it. And he finally is going crazy enough to where he kind of like starts to like visualize this net that's the shield. And he starts finding these points of light that are each person who is holding the shield. And he starts figuring out how to break out of it. And the description of the way he uses the power and the way they show Loghain in the first season, how he kind of flexes against the shield and you see it push out. Like it's a really good, that's one of the things I thought was really awesome, because that's exactly kind of how I imagined it. If you could see it, of him just like, oh, just straining to try to break this shield that's being held together in a web by several people, that's got to be some weak spots. And so he's just like a velociraptor, just like here. Nope, there it is. I'm going for it, you know? And I hope that they keep with that, because I think it could be really cool. And if they're trying to set up the tied off shields, I think it's good to do it this early, because it will let people understand what Rand's doing when it happens.
Who's tying her off?
Ishmael tied her off when at the end, when her and Rand are all right there.
Yeah.
So I think she probably goes to this farmhouse or, you know, to see some of these Aes Sedai that are kind of, for less of a better term, they're kind of ancient. They're really old, even for Aes Sedai. And that's why I think she goes there, because they have a lot of knowledge and a lot of like history that they've recorded and searched out. And so she's maybe trying to go find out how to fix it or untie the shield, you know, or have them help her untie the shield.
Just to get back to the trailer for a minute. What places do you think you saw?
Yeah, I was trying to figure that out. So in the first or second scene that they show, there's like white cloaks running across a desert with the fog. And I was trying to figure, like, I don't understand.
That's got to be Falm.
But Falm is in a desert, is it?
It's like plains outside of it. They talk about Toman Head being kind of just open, kind of nasty plains before you get to the coast. So maybe it's outside of it.
I suppose it could be that. What if it's Rudian? But I don't know why they would be there that soon.
Oh, dude. I don't know why they'd be in Reedy. Oh, I didn't even think about that. The fog.
The fog in the desert.
Yeah, dude. Oh, that would be crazy. I don't know why the white cloaks would go after the Aiel, but
I mean, maybe they're not white cloaks. Maybe they're just guys dressed in white, and maybe it's a flashback. I don't know. It could be anything.
That's a fucking really cool. I just assumed that it's when a certain someone blows the horn.
Yeah.
Well, I guess if you listen to the podcast, you already know. When Matt blows the horn and the fucking white cloaks come, you know, it's like the white cloaks and the Shanshan are coming in, and then they're caught between the battle and they blow the horn.
Yeah, possibly could be that.
But do you think that they would? Yeah, dude, because Tyr's not really desert either.
No.
Uh-oh. Desmond just read something.
big. Ooh.
I see it all over his face.
The waygate they show is in a lush green place. Is that a Steading waygate?
Oh, I always pictured Steading be more like redwood style trees, but hey, man, if it's just trees everywhere, that could be a Steading.
Yeah.
Yeah, but they have like palm trees and stuff.
Yeah.
It's, well.
Oh, no, I think, dude, that's a good, damn. You know what? Especially with Rafe's comment, I think you might be right. I mean, that's a really good call. I was thinking, you know, maybe someplace outside of Tyr, maybe even like, you know, fucking, maybe getting into like, yeah, dude, I was mostly thinking Tyr, or maybe someplace like maybe in Shanshan, you know, because I don't know what it's like over there. Maybe it was them coming here or something. I don't know, dude. That's a really good one, though. Could be a city, especially with Rafe's comment. That makes a lot of sense.
Yeah.
Yeah, that would be possible.
Get to the Steading.
I like it. I like it.
I did recognize that Egwene was probably in the White Tower.
Definitely. Which is cool, because I hope they get their flicker moments and their testing moments, because Nynaeve's testing is pretty good, but Egwene's testing is really harsh and really hardcore. And it's almost to the point like Mr. Foretelling Ashaman. It's like it has a little bit of future kind of ramifications. So also Loyal lives. We talked about that, I guess, already. Hopefully we get to know how that happened.
Those guys, I wonder if, I feel like that could be Gawain and...
Well, I know the one thing where they're kind of like, when they're practicing with quarterstaffs, that's Matt for sure. And yeah. I'm pretty sure one of the dudes is Gawain. So I'm thinking the other dude's probably Galad.
Yep.
Maybe we get introduced to them and Elaine with him falling off of a wall somehow, or stumbling into them somehow.
Oh.
In Tar Valon. And maybe they, you know, Elaine is kind of like, you know, she, remember how she kind of takes care of Rand? maybe they come across Matt super sick trying to get back in the tower or something, and they help him, and then he becomes close with them for that. Because Matt does have kind of a close relationship with Elaine later in the books.
Yeah, because Matt could meet him later, but that would at least give us a chance to meet him and get him in.
Jeremy ain't talking.
There's a scene where there's like a bunch of guys that are all walking, and I think Uno's in the front, and I can't tell. So then there's that other scene.
That's the thing where the fate is nailed to the door. Uno's there, right? And then I think Massima, the guy who's going to play Massima's in that. And then I think Ingtar's definitely in it.
Well, there's a guy in the front who's got like kind of like curly hair, and he's tall. But he's looking away. I don't know if it's Perrin or who it is.
I think the guy on the front left is Perrin. There's another guy.
He's got a sword,
like,
though.
Oh,
do you notice that? He's got a sword.
Dude, okay, I want to get to that scene too. But you know what? The very first scene, you see Avienda and she's wounded, and there's two other Aiel as well.
Yep.
And I'm hoping it's Bane and Shead.
Yeah, that would be awesome.
I don't know who else they would put there. But one of the things I kind of heard is that they might not introduce Gaul, and it might be more like Perrin and Avienda, like as friends, and then she becomes close to Rand. I hope that's not the case.
Yeah, that would kind of be a bummer.
Because I think Gaul has to be in the show. Gaul, you know, Gaul at the end, and like Gaul of some of the stuff that he does and has, and like, I think he's super important. So I hope that's not the truth. I hope that's just someone, you know, kind of making a theory that's super wrong.
Well, he's one of those side characters that might get, you know, sacrificed.
Yeah, I know.
There's just not enough time.
Yeah, that's true.
Here's something for people who think that they make changes just to be dicks. Jeremy, what was the biggest
go for it.
What was the biggest change in episode 8 that was brought by COVID restrictions compared to what you had originally planned? The thing I liked the least was we originally had Egwene using the wisdom skills she'd learned in the pilot from Nynaeve to help her after the channeling in Faldara, but last minute COVID changes on the day didn't allow for the same amount of touching, so it got switched and I cried. That's from Rafe himself.
So he wasn't really on board with the fish flopping scene at the end either then?
No.
Okay, well, that makes me feel a little better.
Well, that was a scene that never should have been in the first place, because that was not what was in the book.
Hey, take it easy. Take it easy.
Should have been Rand.
Calm your tits, buddy. I think never. I think that they probably wanted to do more with Rand, and I think I really felt like the very end was very much COVID. Like, we're out of budget, we're out of time. We've got to finish this in a way that leaves it open for us to kind of make it better around it.
You think so?
One of our main actors just fucking walked away.
What? Oh, no. Yeah. I'm sorry. I'm like, whoa, what the fuck? I didn't hear about this. I'm like, yeah, Barney Harris, dummy. It happened a year ago.
He's just gone. Just, all right, I guess we'll figure it out.
Dude, it's crazy how that dude is just like, did he die?
Did you die? No idea. I think he stepped into a Waygate. They just lost him.
Yeah, fucking slept next to a portal stone. Dude's gone. He'll be back in 4 more years. Right. Just in time for episode 8.
Oh, yeah. He just walked off the set, right? Rafe, I get it. Yeah, he just walked off the set.
My chin shin.
What else? Oh, dude, Jeremy, what do you think that dome is, dude?
Yeah, so the one that looks like it's on top of a tower? Is that the one you're talking about?
Yeah, I say it's the Dome of Truth for the White Cloaks, dude.
Possibly. It kind of looks like a set, so maybe it's supposed to be like a really high tower, and then they're just going to fill in everything around it.
Maybe. That makes sense. Yeah, I got too excited about that.
Well, but it could be. I don't know. You could be right.
I was just like, dude, nothing makes sense. They're like, is it this? Is it that? I was like, man, I was like, I feel like if it was going to be something, it'd be the fucking a golden dome. It's going to be the golden dome of the truth for the White Cloaks.
Yeah, but if, you know, I'm sure if we looked at anything that is a set without the special effects around it, we'd be like, well, this is the chintziest looking thing I've ever seen. Well, what are you going to do with it? Like, oh,
what are they doing?
Artist.
Why are they hitting each other with plain sticks on green rubber pads? Trust me, it's Mustafar, dude. Trust me, it's Mustafar. There's lava everywhere. Hot lava, ground hot lava.
Do the Sean Chan still use the ball gags on the domain? Rafe, I've never seen a ball gag on a
Damani.
Because weren't we talking about that? We did our Sean. I know. I'm the worst.
I'm not laughing at that. I'm just laughing at the ball gag.
It's Tejo. 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 What? Tejo. Hey, how?
But weren't we talking about that, the Sean Chan episode? Oh, no, we were talking about the chains.
Yeah, they have the collars without the chain, but it looked like they didn't have any chains on them.
Yeah.
No, they had ball gags that control them. That's how it's a inner thing. It's a throat thing. Just, it's fine. So who do we think's with Rand in the torch scene, and where do we think he is? Forgate and Carheen? That's the most popular theory that I've seen. It looks kind of shanty.
You're talking about the scene in the shanty where they're kind of when he's walking with the torch. Is that the one you're talking about?
I'm talking about they show him a scene kind of walking in the shanty town in the daytime later.
Oh yeah.
And then there's that shanty town's kind of blowing up, but right before that and right after that, I should say, Rand is walking with like a torch in the dark. It looks like he's got. The theories that I saw was moraine and land, but I can't tell.
You can't tell. It's just smoke and mirrors and not mirrors, but smoke. Definitely smoke.
Smokier than my house right now. Boom.
I don't know about that.
I don't know about that.
Where the fuck do we think Min is?
Somewhere in shadows. That's all I can tell.
She's hiding in a barn.
It's your answer for everything.
She should be at the White Tower, right? She goes to the White Tower.
She should be. I read some theories that it looks like maybe she could have been, she might get captured by the Sean Chan earlier than she did before and become that little doomsayer. Because it looks like almost like she's captured or hiding or something. I definitely think that when Rand is in the dirtier clothes in the daytime, that's definitely got to be the Forgate, dude.
It's possible. We haven't heard anything about Kirin or Kirin or wherever it's called.
I know. Well, that's what I'm wondering about. That'll bring me to my next point. Who do you think the long-haired cat is right after Rand walking what I think is the Forgate?
The guy with the gray hair? Is that who you're talking about?
It's not a girl, is it? It's a dude.
Well, it's but the person with gray hair walking away. I couldn't tell. I mean, they could have.
Yeah, they kind of have. Well, you know what? The reason why it reminds me of Moraine's hair in the back, like the tie.
Yeah.
So I'm wondering, is it maybe someone, because Moraine has ties to the royal family in Carheen, Damadred.
Yeah.
Right.
She is. She's a Damadred.
Yeah. But she's like a lesser branch of the house that was. Is Layman? Was he a Damadred? No. No, the guy who's king now, right? Galdrian?
Yes.
Galdrian Damadred. So he's like her uncle?
Cousin?
Jeremy, help me out. Cousin? Oh, maybe cousin. And then...
I'm thinking. You can't see me because I don't have a picture, but I'm looking up.
It's confusing because all I see is your wife's smiling, beautiful face. And I decide, is he there? Is he talking? Is he ignoring me? I have ADD. I got to keep talking. No,
I'm listening. I'm trying to think. I think they're cousins. If I remember correctly.
Next question. Could this be Layman?
Could be in a flashback. Yeah. I think you and I talked about this. Did we talk about this on a previous episode?
It just looks like a rising sun above his head.
Oh, I didn't even catch that.
Do you see what I'm saying?
Is that true? Let me.
I don't know. The doorway, it looks kind of like a rising sun with like rays coming off.
Let me look at it again.
Here.
Un momento, por favor.
You can look very closely here.
Yes, that absolutely does. No, I'm looking at it. Yeah. That absolutely does. And it could also look like the Tree of Life.
Also, that was my second thing. It could be the Avendisora, right?
Right.
Chora, bro. It's easier to say.
Who do we think? Okay, so there's a scene. It's really quick, but the guy, the blonde white cloak with the axe, he's fighting an Aiel.
Oh.
I was hoping that was Gaul, but they said it looks like a female. It looks like it could be Avienda.
So maybe it's Avienda then. That's how we introduced Avienda.
Yeah, possibly.
I know you like Gaul, but I can understand.
Well, I mean, if you choose to just increase Avienda's screen time earlier and make her kind of less annoying in the beginning.
Yes.
Because she's just really pouty and bitchy. I don't want to be a wise one. It's like, you're one of the strongest channelers and you fight like a badass. Why wouldn't you want to increase your skills? Quit being a baby.
Yes. Get over it.
Yeah, get over yourself. And so when she finally gets over that and like gets over her like stubbornness about Rand, like she becomes real badass, dude. Like she's tough and she don't take no shit, dude. And she's smart. Like she's smart, but like warrior wise.
And then there's also a scene where white cloaks are fighting against some guys in like red. The armor's like a brass color. But then they have like red shirts on underneath. Who do we think?
Mainers? It could be Ilion.
Could be Ilion. It could be.
I don't know why they'd be fighting with Ilion. Could be Mayne, but I don't know why they'd fight with Mayne.
Tears. Those guys, they wear red too, don't they?
Do they? I don't know.
I don't remember.
I was thinking it could be Shan Chan, but they didn't really. They have more like blue, red, I guess. They're black and dark greens and stuff.
And then at the very end, the woman in the golden like mask thing. I'm looking at it right now.
I'm thinking that's like emperor or empress.
Oh, okay. So
because they can't meet their eyes, you know.
So, but also, if you look at it, can you look at? Can you get to that? Just like freeze it on there.
Yeah, yeah. It's at the very end, right? The
very end. It looks like there's mandibles on the bottom. So maybe it's the toe racking or like.
One of the like riders.
Yep.
Could be. I feel like she's got to be one of the blood, dude, because it's like, you know, it's all about not meeting the eyes and lowering the eyes. And that would be a much easier way to film it than trying to make people just kind of stare at the ceiling.
But it looks like Shan Chan armor. What if it's Pale Doman's lady? What's her name?
Oh, Eganin.
Eganin.
Dude, it could be. She's tough. I'm thinking that it might be the, you know, the Empress. May she live forever. The first one, you know,
maybe.
Every time I watch this, there's so fucking much in it. Like the first time you watch it, you're like, that's five.
You're like, it's only a minute long. I'm like, bro, we're going to knock out a long episode about this. I have tons of shit to talk about.
Well, we got to start wrapping it up if I want to get this out tomorrow.
Yes.
Shut your mouth. Okay. Let's see. Let me look. Hold on. Okay. Layman, where do we think our favorite fucking dickhead's going in the columned room? Padan Fane. I think he's going. I hope he's going to the Dark Friend Social. I hope he's the one that is in charge of the Dark Friend Social.
Oh, you think that's what that is?
I hope so. Another fucking quick scene is you see in like the wooded area, looks like I'm thinking is a Madral, is the hooded figure walking in. Yes. The farm. Like,
yeah.
I'm hoping that it's the farm and they had that attack on the farm from the books. You may have got there already, Dez. Is Moraine at the farmhouse in the Great Hunt yet? Or is that not till Dragon Reborn? No, when is that? Am I way early, Jeremy? I thought that was where she started out in the Great Hunt.
It might be the Dragon Reborn because she doesn't go to Falm, right?
She does not.
Oh, no. Yes, she does.
No, she doesn't.
Yeah, she does. She doesn't?
No.
So where do they?
Because remember, Rand is injured after Falm and it's Nynaeve and Egwene and Min, and then Lanfear shows up and then that's it.
Yeah.
And then Nynaeve actually heals him.
And then Moraine and Perrin, when do they get to get back together so they can go looking for him? Because that's how he meets Fael and all that, and the Dark Hounds going after him.
That's Shadow Rising, dude. That's Shadow Rising.
No.
No, that's the end of Dragon Reborn. Yeah, Fael shows up midway through Dragon Reborn. Actually, Fael shows up midway through Dragon Reborn right after he rescues Gaul. Gaul takes off, and she watches him and then stows away with him.
That's right. But then I don't remember how Moraine and Perrin get back together. I think that maybe you're right. It's the beginning of the Dragon Reborn. She is at that place.
Yeah, I think after Falm, or like, you know, while they're going to Falm, I think she ends up there.
Okay.
Because she doesn't go back to the tower. Varen takes them back to the tower, I don't think, if I remember right.
Varen takes Matt back to the tower and the girls.
Matt back to the tower, but Egwene and them are all in the procession with the Amarillin seat and shit.
Right. Not the Amarillin.
Okay, what else?
Right.
She's on the boat with them for a while. Remember her and Nynaeve have the standoff. That would be a good clip to do.
Okay, you're talking about two different times. I'm talking about after when Matt goes back after Falm and the Dragon Reborn, he has to go back one more time to the tower, right? Because he's still sick.
Oh, right. Yeah, I'm pushing them together. You're right.
Yeah, there's two different times.
Yeah, because she takes him back with the horn.
Dez is just looking at the clock going, wrap it up. This is nothing to do with it. Wrap it up.
Tick tock.
Okay, so we hit on it, but the scene with the Madral nailed to the door.
Yes.
We needed that. And that's in there. I am very happy about that because that is a pivotal. I don't know if it's a pivotal scene, but it was like one of those cool scenes where they're in the books, they're chasing after Padan Fane, and he's got Trollocs and Murdraw with him. They're like, they want to get to him, but they're also nervous. They're like, oh crap, you know, this guy's got Trollocs and Murdraw.
Like this guy, the Murdraw are afraid of him. Holy shit, basically.
Yes. And then when you come to the scene where one Murdraw is nailed to the door and you're like, what the heck? Who could have done that?
Like not just nailed to the door, like basically railroad spikes driven through his eyes, nailed to the door and then like stigmata'd out. Like he's like totally crucified plus eyes, things driven through the eyes and maybe the mouth. And then I think there's something written in his blood on the wall.
It's a brutal scene.
It's pretty rough.
It makes you realize how tough or how like really cool Peyton Fane is.
Yeah, he's a bad dude. He's a bad dude.
I said cool. He's not cool.
He's not cool. Cruel. Oh, Jeremy, you know what? I was just looking at the scene where he's nailed to the door. Dude, that's totally Perrin in the front, 100%.
Okay.
And you know what? Quick question for you. Who's the fucking, I think he's a black guy, which we know that Elias has been classed as a black dude. He has long hair, gray hair. He's got some gold in his hair, like holding it almost like Dreddy style. Do we think this could be Elias?
They've cast Elias?
Instead of Hurin, maybe they have Elias as a sniffer and then he figures out what Perrin can do.
But you said they have cast Elias? I never heard that.
They have cast Elias. Gary Beatles is his name.
Oh, wow. Okay. Very cool. If that's, I think that's a great idea because again, Hurin is in it for two episodes. That's it. Or two books.
Yeah.
For a very short amount of time. And he's just gone. He's never comes back. Elias is in and out.
Yeah, bro, the guy in the red shirt, I would say definitely is 100% Perrin. But then there's a dude on the back left, if you can look at it.
I'm trying to get to it right now. I'm scrubbing through.
It's...
Can you give me the timestamp?
50.
I'm on a different one like an asshole.
50?
50.
Okay. Oh, you stupid. Oh, okay, got it. Okay.
I think that could be Elias, dude, because he's not dressed like the Shannarians. He's got long hair. He's got kind of like baggier clothes.
Yeah. And if you look at it kind of like blown up, he's got some like looks kind of like some wolf skins or something on the back. I think that's a great idea.
Oh, that's definitely put on Fane in the front. Yeah. Or front.
No,
left.
It's not. No,
no,
that's
it's
not.
Perrin.
Perrin.
On the front left.
Oh, really? Oh, yeah.
And I said he has a sword, but that might not be a sword. I see something like sticking down.
Perrin also will fight with whatever the fuck he can pick up. If a Perrin will kill you with a chair.
True, but he's always had an axe.
Yeah.
I still don't know why they didn't give it to him right off the beginning.
I know. I don't really either.
But there is a scene where all the guys, it seems like the same guys in the same outfit are walking. And it looks like Uno in the front. And that's at 23.
Oh, where they're kind of like walking in the woods a little bit, like kind of.
Yeah. So
like...
if you go back to 23 seconds
mm-hmm.
and you see that, it's the same guy with the same outfit and the same shaggy hair. And he does have a sword.
Oh, okay.
And Uno actually has an axe on his back.
Huh. Weird.
But the guy that you were talking about, that could be Elias. I don't see him anywhere.
Weird.
So maybe they're going
to meet him.
It would
be great if my fucking phone would load up. It'd be awesome. Because like, I let it get to the end. So I'm like, oh, now it's on a different one. Dang it.
Yeah, 23 seconds.
Yeah, I see what you're saying. I don't see.
When the White Cloak is swinging his sword, is that thing flipping?
That's a, yeah, I think that's an Aiel.
It's a person.
Is it?
That thing flipping?
I don't see the guy that I said looks like Elias, not at all. And the other thing we didn't talk about is that little courtyard where they kind of scroll over the top of the wall and there's like some guards and looks like, you know, someone who's supposed to be important.
I think that
could be Turok.
I think it's Sean Chan because they're just coming over the top and they're it looks like they're buried to show a bunch more people and then they cut it off. Like I feel like they're showing an anonymous army and then right before you get to all of their ball gagged.
And it's in the desert too, right? So that's where the White Cloaks are gonna fight the Sean.
Yeah, so I wonder if maybe somehow they're in the waste. It can't be the waste. That doesn't make sense. It just doesn't make that much sense unless, dude. Okay, here's how it would make sense.
That's not a person.
Yes, it is.
Yeah,
she's doing like a little fucking side
like cartwheel
judo flip, bro.
She's got
that's her head at the bottom.
I don't believe.
You've never had any martial arts training. Come on.
Yeah, clearly you didn't take Taekwondo and become a brown, an orange, yellow belt like me, or whatever,
or a camo belt like me.
What's a camo belt? I didn't even know that existed.
That's the dumbest thing ever.
All right, boys. Final thoughts.
All right.
I'm excited. Believe it or not.
Super. Yeah.
Oh really? Yeah. Woo! Yes.
I'm excited. I am. They're for me. This season, they have an ability to right a wrong, and they may do that. And I hope they do, because
last
season,
I feel like it's going to happen.
Yeah, I understand that last year they had COVID, they had a major character leaving, they had probably not the budget that they wanted, and time constraints. And now they're going to be able to make the episodes longer, which would be great. I'm just, hey, fingers crossed.
Are you, do you think it's going to be too much to squeeze? Because Rafe said they're going to have, there's going to be elements of book 1, 2, and 3 in this.
I think that's great. As long as they pick the right ones.
Yes. I believe it's exactly the same thing Justin said. It's,
where do they leave us though? Like,
I think they got to leave us with Rand probably about to take the stone, or at least heading that way.
Or already has it.
Yeah, is having it and is like literally like that. You know the clip that we did with Moraine where she kind of just fucking, he's like, you can't fight me, Belal or whatever. And she just like, zap, Balefire. And he's like, nope, yep, whoops.
Oh, if we get some Balefire.
Like, that's the ultimate fucking no scope right there, dude. Maybe they could throw Samael in there. So, you know, you could build part of the season around him just being the first Forsaken to kind of pop up, like, and be going after Rand. Selene could pop up, you know, Lanfear, and kind of start to machinate and do stuff. And then maybe he's like going after Samael early, or Samael's coming after him early as he goes towards Tyr instead of, you know, Belal. Because obviously Falm is definitely happening. And it's like, is Rand at Falm too? Or is he already in Tyr? And it's like, you know, are they going to try to do the, you know, fight in the sky and the end of book one, what Rand is doing kind of like in a, he's in two places at once type of thing in Falm and Tyr. And while, you know, some of his people are in Tyr, like maybe Matt ends up going to Tyr and breaking in the stone like he does in the books. And Perrin is in Falm and they're, you know, Rand's kind of in both places at the same time type of thing like he is in book one. Like, what do you think?
Here's the things that I would really like to see. Number one, I would really like to see a lot more of the Forsaken. Like you said, it would be great to get like, you know, them talking to each other.
Yeah. Some of their secret like meetings in Tel Riad and stuff that, you know, Perrin and them, everybody kind of, Egwene, everybody kind of starts learning how and stumbling upon them. That would be good.
Yeah. It's really, there's some really cool scenes where they're kind of sitting around like a table talking and then fighting amongst each other. And then Rand like shows up, or, you know, Nynaeve shows up, or maybe not Nynaeve, Egwene shows up. But that's probably going to be a little bit later, but just some interactions so that we start to meet the main baddies that we're going to have to like,
yeah, start to lay some groundwork for those guys.
Yeah. Cause you got to get, they're going to get picked off eventually. And then when that happens, if there's no backstory, there's no, you know, setup, it's going to suck. Another thing,
who's this guy? Oh, he's dead. Doesn't matter.
Yeah. He wasn't that important. Do you think that we'll get the injury, Rand's injury at the end of this season? Well,
I think you got to.
I hope so. We don't want to spoil it for you, Dez, but Rand gets injured pretty significantly.
I know.
And okay.
Well, and it's one of the things that he kind of starts to focus on, you know, he starts to get kind of, I don't want to say obsessed, but, you know, a little obsessed with the Carithian cycle. And one of the things, it's like his blood on the rocks of Shael Gol, and he knows, he's like, this is the wound. This is the wound. This is the wound. Cause they can just, no matter how hard they try, they can't get it, you know, healed all the way. And, I kind of feel like there's some foreshadowing. Remember when we talked about in the dream thing where Rand's like, you're not going to control me, and stabs himself?
Yes.
He stabs himself in the place where that wound is. And I feel like that's some, you know, Lan and him start training and they start talking about sheathing the sword. It's basically Jedi tactic. It's like, I'm going to take your fucking head off. I'm going to let you impale me with your lightsaber so I can take your head off. I know that I'm probably going to die. I don't care. My mission is worth dying. And that's what Lan kind of talks about with Rand. He's like, hey, there's going to be a time when what you need to do is more important than your life and you're willing to give it to make it happen. And he's like, that's called sheathing the sword. And that's what he does in the books against Ishmael. He leaves himself open to a major attack so he can end the fight. Just thinking that I'm going to die anyway, this is it. Rand thinks the end of the Great Hunt is it. And you're like, oh, sweetie, you have so much more torture and pain and hell to go through. It's just,
we're just getting started.
If only this was it, you poor little guy. Who needs a hug?
Yeah. He literally is like, I've done it. They're like, no.
Yeah. I killed Shaitan. No.
Thank the light for listening. If you would like to continue this conversation with Justin on Twitter, We are Wolf Brothers at Parse Ailman. He will be there. He will be riled up. We could talk all night, but I want to get this episode out to you guys tomorrow while we still have some new, while this news is still a little bit new and exciting. And we will be back next week with, maybe we'll just do this again. Maybe we'll do.
I'm sorry. I showed up like super sober and I was just talking a lot. I was really excited. I was waiting for a week to talk about this. So.
This is an amazing episode. If I wasn't trying to get this out tomorrow, I'd let it be 3 hours long.
Yeah. I think we covered everything.
Getting it out while it's hot off the presses, I think, is great. Again, that is Wolf Brothers at Parse Ailman on Twitter. If you would like to send some questions directly to us, we are thankthelight@gmail.com. That is thankthelight@gmail.com. Tell somebody about the show. Season 2, we got some hot new Season 2 stuff going on. I know we're dealing with the diehard fans right now who want to talk Wheel of Time all season long. We're coming up. We're going to do a full Season 1 rewatch before Season 2 starts. So probably like October 1st, we're going to have to start our Season 1 rewatch. So we can get that done by the end of November, and then hopefully...
Do we have a date for when they're releasing it?
We don't, but I'm just going with early December until...
It seems like that would be the smart move. I think that's what they did last year. So
yeah. So unless we hear otherwise, we're going to start with season one, or with episode one at the beginning of October, and we're going to start our rewatch. You can start it with us. Bring some new fans in on this venture before season two starts. It's just getting started, baby. Just like Justin said, oh, honey, we're just getting started.
You're in for so much more fuckery.
Put your dagger in your horn box.
# Billy Zane is Asmodean, guys. Keep on it. Keep on it.
May you always find water and shade and peace favor that sword, big boy.
Bye.
Long story short.
Yes. Listen to Morons Talk.
We're really likable fellows. Hey, I tried to put a nice spin on it, Jeremy. Thank you very much.
I'm being honest. I'm keeping it real.
Fucking real dumb. See you guys later.
Mixed and edited by Desmond McNeese for We Mixed It, LLC. Go to whatsoundsawesome.com. Wait, what? I'm leaving all that in, by the way.